Yud Ches Mal Cheshvan, Tuesday the 11th of November, Rabbi Chaim Rubin, Our Relationship with Malachim.
Hey, good morning to all. Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom. It's wonderful to be back here again. And usually when I try to make the connections, the question is always asked, what's going to be the topic? And being that last week's parsha was the one by Avraham Avinu, which we just heard, and by Avraham Avinu after on the third day of the Bris Milah, when Kadosh Baruch Hu came, and Kadosh Baruch Hu saw that Avraham was agitated, he wanted the orchim, he wanted guests. So, of course, Baruch Hu sent him three guests. And, of course, the way we translate the psukim in Chumash, there's really more to it than that. And therefore, it turns out that these three guests that came were not what they call it, the Arab nomads, but rather they were malachim. Now, malachim come in all sizes, in all disguises, and therefore it's difficult to understand what is the malach. And they say there are three malachim that came. One represented H, the fire. One represented Mayim. And one represented the Ruach. Now, what do we know about these spiritual things? In Shemayim, there's nothing that's physical up there. It's all spiritual. And therefore, we have to try to understand what is it the Torah wants to tell us. And especially in these parshas that we reading right now, we have quite a bit about the Malachim. Avram had Malachim, Hogam had a Malach, and we're going to have Yaakov Avinu soon coming up with the ladder and the Malachim, Olim, the Yodim. But why don't we start from the very beginning? What is our relationship with Malachim? Well, I'm sure everyone is aware that when we come home from shul on Friday night, we're accompanied by two malachim. The truth is, not only Friday night, we always accompanied by two malachim. And these two malachim, they come to the house, we start welcoming them by singing Shalom Aleichem. And after Shalom Aleichem, and Bochem L'Shalom, Bochuni, and then it comes to the word of Tzeischem L'Shalom. That's all you invited them in for. So you can sing three stanzas of Shalom Aleichem, and now say, well, now you can leave. Then obviously there's various malachim. There's a weekday malachim, there's Shabbos Digi malachim, and there's malachim from Chutz Lores, and there's malachim from Eretz Yisrael. And therefore they say that the Bochem, the Shalom, and the Shalom Aleichem are to the Malachim that's coming especially for Shabbos, and those, Tzeischem and Shalom, are the Malachim from the Chol, that they already can go home. Now, I'd like to just inject a little story here that maybe will cast some certification on what we are talking about. I was once downtown in Yerushalayim, and I passed a store that was selling Judaicas. And among them, there was a picture that sort of caught my attention. And I was standing in front of this picture, and I tried to understand what is the message of this particular picture. It showed a picture of the Kosel with a little butterfly up in the corner. Butterfly, many colors. It's very strange. What is it that this man wants to teach me standing in front of the Kosel with a butterfly? But isn't that really what happens to all of us? We stand by the Kedusha, and there's a little butterfly that catches our attention. Could be our friend, could be something else, but somehow our attention is being distracted by a little butterfly, colorful, inviting. And this is what happened to many of us. We are too busy to pay attention to the Malachim. And the Malachim are with us. I can't really give you a description of a Malach. even though it's brought down both in Chumash and in Nach and in Chazal. And they let us know that a malach, some have six wings, some have four wings, some has two wings. The feeder of the malach is like a calf. There's no toes. It's like the foot of a calf. And of course, for us to comprehend that, we can, because anything that's spiritual is something that we have very little knowledge of. I'm going to ask you now for a special favor. When a speaker speaks to an audience, then usually it's only heard. But God has given us five senses. There's seeing, there's hearing, there's tasting, there's smelling, and there's touching. And is it really possible for a teacher to give over a message to the olam in such a way that it should be absorbed by all five chushim, by all five senses? So we're going to be reading soon when Yitzhak is inviting his oldest son Esau to receive the brochas. And then it said that instead Yaakov didn't come in, but Yorach, Yisreich, and Lichoach, he smelled that very special smelling that came from Gan Eden. And we ask a question, what does Yitzhak know about the Gan Eden? So there are actually opinions about that Yitzhak did experience Gan Eden. When was that? It was after the Akedah. That's a machlokus. Some say that Avraham Avinu didn't want any Ein Horus to be placed on Yitzhak Avinu, so he placed him in the Yeshiva of Shem Ve'Eved. But some say that he remained in the Gan Eden, and there he spent some time. So therefore he was familiar with it. Now imagine now that Yaakov's coming in, and he smells the Reach of the Gan Eden. Now what does that mean? How is he able to give that message over to his son later on? So sages tell us something very interesting. That is, that if a person is focused on something, you can not only hear it, you can see it, you can smell it, you can taste it, you can touch it, you can feel it, and that's how a message should be given over. I always pray for Hashem, God, please give me that koach to do so. I remember hearing by being that you mentioned the word Miami before. There used to be a rabbi in Miami, I forgot his name, but he said that he was a tremendous orator, and he knew how to give it over. That, for example, if he would speak about the burning bush, you would actually see a burning bush in front of you. That means he was able to turn on the people to such an extent that they could see it and hear it and smell and touch it and feel about what this is all about. And this is really a job of anyone who addresses an audience to make a roshim on the people. They just go, well, I heard a nice vort. I heard a nice pshat. I heard something that was very interesting. No, that becomes part and parcel of me. If you're a good salesman, he said, I want to tell you, even though I was trained as being a rabbi, I had a congregation, and unfortunately it was in Brooklyn and New York, and a lot of people started to move out of the neighborhood. We had a shul of about 350 people on Shabbos morning, and within 20, 30 years, we were down to 40. Everybody had moved away. So, of course, I needed a job. They couldn't pay me the same salary for 350 people, and now only 40 people. So I had to go out and look for a job. So the question was, I was trained to be a rabbi and a teacher. What kind of job can I take? After all, I do have to be in the shul in the morning, and I have to be there in the evening. So someone said, listen, if you can sell religion, you can sell anything. So I ended up in Wall Street, and I spent some 20 years in Wall Street, and I thank the Almighty that I got out of there. Because the lies and the cheating and everything that took place, that wasn't my upbringing. I was fortunate to have parents, very, very honest people. My father was a butcher, And every time he put the meat on the scale, his hands went behind his back. No one should ever accuse him of putting a thumb on the scale and, you know, gain a little more weight on the meat so he could charge more. And then later on, I was fortunate to spend 32 years with Rav Moshe Feinstein. That was mamash kula emes. There was nothing but truth. So when I came to Wall Street and I saw what went on there, you don't know about it, but I do. And I tell you, I used to live in Brooklyn, and Wall Street is in Manhattan, and I had to go through the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel in order to get there. When I went into a tunnel after being there a number of years, I started to get nauseous. When I came to the building, I was ready to throw up. And I told my wife, may she rest in peace, she said, this is not for me, I can't take it anymore. I make nice money there, but that's not everything in life. And I was so happy to get out of it. And this is really, we are tested by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in many ways. And if we can live up to our test, we read about Avraham Avinu was tested 10 times and how he succeeded in each one of them. And this is something for us to learn from. So I wrote down a few things that I would like to share with you regarding what we understand. A malach is a shaliach. A malach is a messenger from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's some malachim that serve for a day, some for a week, some for a month, some for a year, some for a yovel. And we have, for example, when Yaakov Avinu was wrestling with the malach, he said, please let me go, because today is my turn to sing Shiro to Hashem. Now, that's also a very complicated thing. What does it mean, singing Shiro to Hashem, singing songs and praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Imagine I had a tape recorder in front of me. And what would I do with this tape recorder? I would speak about myself. And I'll give myself a whole lot of praises and then play it back. Would it mean anything to me? Absolutely nothing. Why? Because I did it myself. So if a little kid will come home and say, hey, you know what, you're a great guy. Ah, look at that. A little guy comes in and gives me a praise that has a meaning to me because it came from someone else, even though he was young in age. This is the same thing here. I could spoke to tell my malachim, sing shiras for me, sing praises for me. How can the Kodesh Baruch Hu be happy with that? And obviously we have a job. We are the one who are starting off the malachim to sing praises to Hashem. For example, when we start davening down here, we've got 10 men together, we form a minyan, and we start davening to the Ribono Shel Olam. So there's one of my malachim that comes closer to earth. He said, now we can sing because we started the morph down here. A lot of things that we do down here will have an effect in Shemayim. We have not only one world, that's called the Olam HaSiya, where we are. We have an Olam HaYetzira above that. And we have an Olam HaBriya above that. And we have the Atzilus above that. And our davening is constructed in such a way that up until Bo Shoma, we're in Olam HaSiya. And then up till the Brokos of Kirishma, we get up to Olam HaYetzira. And from there we get to the Olam HaBriya. And then Bashmona Esrei, we're all the way up in Atzilus. And then our tefillos are going up there, and of course, Baruch Hu hopefully will send that to us, what we call the Shefa, the brokers from a Kodesh Baruch Hu that all of us are hoping to benefit from. So our relationship with Malachim is one where, like I said before, Shalom Aleichem, we certainly are together with Malachim. When we go to a Bris Milah, we know Eliyahu HaNavi, who's a Malach that comes down. And we know that on the Seder night, or two Seder nights, Chutz La'aretz, that you also have, we go open up the door, welcome in Eliyahu HaNavi, we have a special course of Eliyahu HaNavi. So this is certainly is one thing that we should appreciate, that we are at times together with Elio Hanovi. But above that, we have more than that. And that is, there's only certain malachim that we recognize with. And as some malachim, we're allowed to mention their names. Malachim that are not famous, we are not allowed to mention their name. Just like we don't say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name was Beit Yud Kei Vov Kei and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, any of the names, in vain we don't say them. So also the malachim, we don't mention their names either, except we have some like Uriel, we have Gabriel, we have Michoel, and we have Raphael. We have certain malachim that we are familiar with that are given names to us. Now actually some say that not only two malachim are accompanying a person, but four malachim. And we know that we have that in the davening, when, for example, before we go to sleep, we say that we have Mimini, Michoel, and we have Uriah. We have all the four names that are mentioned, some to the right, some to the left, some behind, some in front. And we are in the middle, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu are in the middle. So actually it's brought down that Michoel is to the right, Gabriel is to the left, Raphael is in the back, and Uriel is in front. But we have more than just Malachim. We say in Davne every morning, V'ho'ofanim v'chayos ha'kodesh. And these ofanim, obviously, are different kinds of Malachim, and so are the chayos ha'kodesh. Then we have something that's called Kruvim. You remember in the very beginning, after Adam HaRishon had eaten from the forbidden fruit. So it says that God, he placed the Kruvim with a revolving sword to prevent us from going to the Eitz HaChayim and eat from there. Now, what does Rashi tell us over there? That the Kruvim were Malachi Chabola, angels of destruction. We find another place by the Oron in the Mishkan, that there were two Kruvim placed on the cover of the Ora, and those Kruvim, Rashi says, that they had faces like innocent children. Now, how come Rashi is not consistent? One place, Malachi Chabola, another place is considered like honest, beautiful kids with honest faces and pleasurable to be with. So I say this, tell us again. If you are attached to the Oron, then you're like innocent children. If you're removed from the Oron, Cholila, you become a Malachi Chabola. Take a look at children nowadays. Baruch Hashem, our children that go to the Yeshiva and Beis Yaakov, innocent children, good children. Those who go to public school and learn about the use of weapons and use about the abortions and use about drugs and all these things, those are Malachi Chabola. But here we see already that you can have the same word with different meanings to it depending on who are the people and what are the circumstances. So in addition to that, we do find that from our mitzvahs are created also Malachim. For example, being that I live by myself, and I have to light the Hanukkah licht by myself, so I know I'm not really alone. I don't see any physical being in there, but I know that all the brochas that I did last year when I lit the menorah, you know, so I lit the Hanukkah menorah, so at that time, I created malachim at that time. And these angels come to every time that I do light, and they are present, even though I don't see them, I don't hear them, but I know that they are there. And then we had some human beings that turned into a malach. If you remember, we had Hanoch. Hanoch in the Chumash, and it says the Kodesh Baruch Hu took him before he, Kodesh Baruch Hu was considering that, who knows, maybe he'll sin, let me take him while he's a tzaddik, and turn him into a malach. Let's try to understand that. Hanoch was a shoemaker. Hanoch, he used to fix shoes. And he said that every time that he would sew up a shoe, not only fixed, he probably created new shoes just as well, but every time that he made a stitch, Rashi tells us there again, it was done mamish l'shem shemayim. It was done with such an honesty, and therefore he said that the Kosh Boku used him, and he today has a different name. Now, being that I mentioned to you before, we don't mention names of Malachim that are not famous to us. In the yeshiva of the Mekubalim, to us he's very famous, but to you I'm afraid he's not. So we just call him Matat. But there's actually an ending to it, which is Ron. So I won't send the whole word together, but you can figure it out yourself. Then we have Malachim that we try to stay away from. And again, we call him Samach Mem. Samach Mem is standing for a Malach that's Samah, and with the ending of Aleph Lamed at the end. Now, it's interesting to know the Samach Mem, Samach is 60, Mem is 40, so that's 100. But the Sfarim, when they give charity and an appeal is being made, and someone wants to give 100, he doesn't give 100, he gives 101. Why 101? Because 100 is Samach Mem. That's not a good omen, but the Samach, well, it's 101, it's Kemenyan Michoel. Michoel is also 101. So here again we see that one extra pound or one extra dollar that's being added there takes it out of the realm of this Samach Mem, this bad angel, and brings it into a level of Michoel instead. And we have, for example, also on the woman's side, there's also a female angel. And again, we call it just Lamed, Lamed. But her name is really Lamed Yud Sof. I don't want to use her name either. And she is doing a lot of harm. A lot of people, especially young men, who have problems with the desires, they may have, in English they call it a wet dream. And he said that usually this female Malach, this Lamed Lamed, is the one who is causing that to happen. So we need, of course, a lot of good Malachim to neutralize the bad effect of the others. But we find also that, for example, by the Akedah, we heard the Malach Hashem was called out from heaven. And here again, he was a shaliach of a Kodesh Baruch Hu who did it on behalf of Hashem. We personally do not need Malachim as middlemen. There's someone to intercede on our behalf between ourselves and the Borei Olam. Baruch Hashem, we can speak directly to Hashem. And we can speak to Him 24/7. You're never going to find a busy signal. And I'd like to add it to here something that I mentioned yesterday when I spoke in one of the girls' seminaries. I asked the girls, do you ever talk to God? So she said, sure. I said, we daven. I said, those are not your words. Those are the words of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. They were the ones who instituted our prayers. Do you talk to God in your language? You have a personal request. Do you know how to address the Almighty? So, of course, that was left behind, and I had to fill in. And I said to them, I want to tell you two short stories. And this way you may be able to remember the importance of talking to Hashem. In our yeshiva, he's not around anymore, but a number of years ago he needed some major surgery, and he did it not in Yerushalayim, he did it in Tel Aviv, one of the hospitals. And while he was a patient there, I went to visit him, and he told me that he was born in Switzerland, and he was one of 11 children. In those days, it was before the penicillin was discovered. If a person had pneumonia, Rahman al-Islam, the person would live maybe another 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and the person would just pass away because they had nothing to give that patient. So this woman, Nebuch, is contracting pneumonia, and she's been brought to the hospital, and her husband came to visit her. And when he heard that her condition was worsening, he went out on the porch and started to talk to Hashem. And he said, God, you can't do this. You can't take away my wife. You cannot take away the mother from 11 children. And he really pleaded with Hashem. He spoke from his heart. And the woman lived a year. So you say, well, what's a big deal, a couple of weeks or a year? It's a big deal. Without any medication, the woman would be gone within 2-3 weeks. Now she lived a year. Why? Because he spoke from his heart. Story number two. In America, you may have heard the name of Shimshon Pinkus, Oliver Sholem. He was down south in Israel. There's a number of Sforim in Hebrew and books in English from him. He was a great person. And there was a couple who were not blessed with children for a long time. And someone said, why don't you go and see Rabbi Pinkus? He'll be able to help you. So the man drove down to Rabbi Pinkus and said, Rabbi Pinkus, we married for a couple of years and we have no children. And we were told that you may be able to help us. So Pinkus said, are you willing to do something? He said, sure. Well, that's the case. Come back tonight at midnight. Come to my house. So the man came at midnight to Rabbi Pinkus' home. And Pinkus said to him, get out of your car and get into my car and we're going to go for a ride. Where did he take him? He took him to a midbar. He took him to a desert. And he said, while I got into the desert, I'm going to leave you for a half hour. Now you talk to Hashem and tell him your request. And Pinkus took off. And the man is standing by himself in a big, vast desert. Cold, dark, sounds of highest animal sounds there, pretty scary. And a half hour later, Rabbi Pinkus came back. He looked at him, not good enough. You didn't pray the way you're supposed to. I'm going to leave you again, but this time do it right. So the Rabbi Pinkus took off, the man again, standing by himself for a half hour. And Rabbi Pinkus took a good look at him. He said, this time you prayed right. I see how your eyes are puffed. I see your lapels is soaked with tears. This time you prayed right and you'll be answered by Hashem. Within a year, the wife gave birth to a child. There's a big difference between our prayers and the difference between when we talk to Hashem. Talk to Hashem anytime you want. You can't fall asleep at night. You have maybe worries, financial worries, chalil, shalom bayis problems, illness, sicknesses, and no children, but whatever it may be, shidduchim. There could be a million and one reason. Talk to Hashem. But don't just say, hey, God, give me this and that. Do it with the heart. A heart. It's like our Chazal tell us, Rachmono Libo boy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the heart of a person. Don't do things superficially. Put yourself into it. This is the thing that will turn on the Ribono Shel Olam. What, I have to stop at 9 or what?
Yeah.
Oh, do we have it 1 second?
Yeah.
Okay. I would just like to add one thing that really has nothing to do with Malochim. But I just want to tell you in a couple of words. In last week's Haftorah, we read there about the woman from Shunem who was not blessed with a child. Elisha Hanovi comes, and Elisha Hanovi is giving her a blessing, and she has a child, and the child grows up. And one day he goes out to the coasting, to the reapers, and all of a sudden he says, Roshi, Roshi. And the boy somehow looks like he died. And first Elisha sends Gehazi, his heir, to him, tried to restore him to life. He's unable to do it until Elisha himself went and he prostrated himself on top of the boy, piv al piv, the Einav al Einav and Yade el Yad, and he warmed up the boy. This is our problem nowadays. I travel around the world. I meet youngsters all over, and they all say, Roshi, Roshi. What do you mean, Roshi, Roshi? Anyone here with two heads? We only have one head. What does it say? Roshi, Roshi, my head, my head. Today it's a world of confusion. The Roshi is pulling me one way. The Roshi is pulling me another way. Where am I? I don't know how to handle it. And I sort of kill myself. I take drugs. I become depressed. What do? We don't sit back. We go over to the person and peeve out peeve. We speak to them. We converse with them. We try to find out what their problems are. And we try to solve them. Einav el Einav, there's the eye contact between us. We extend our hands to them. And hopefully we're able to warm them up and bring them back to where they were before. This is a problem getting worse and worse and worse. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us all. Let's pray not only for ourselves, for our family. Let's pray for Klal Yisrael. Let's pray for the youngsters and everyone that are somehow gone astray. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so listen to our tefillos. If they emanate from the heart, the Vorim HaYotzi Min HaLev, Nichnosim El HaLev, they go into the heart of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless you all, that all these bad things that we have mentioned should not be befall any one of you. You should have long lives, you should have good health, you should have nachas from your children and grandchildren, maybe great-grandchildren, and so-called ha-adoros. God should be with you, keep on the learning, start off the day the proper way, and your day will be a success.